rube from Knuckle Drag, Oklahoma, with an IQ of under 64. But he's got his tequila, and he has something to say. Bart Cop Radio.
And now here we go, here we go. Gore's Green Earth. Now this monkey, you just know, if I was in a room with the guy, we would just have to tangle, you know what I mean? As a person of average intelligence, I found the recent ranting of Al Gore about global warming and in support of the film The Day After Tomorrow to be ridiculous. I don't believe Al Gore said The Day After Tomorrow was a real film. I don't believe that. If Gore said that, then Gore is a monkey, and I don't mind saying so, but I'm confident enough he didn't say that, because I've seen the movie, and it was so triple stupid, you wouldn't believe. It was like the old one. You know, ABC used to do these movies of the week, where it was just so stupid. Remember my problem with Panic Room, how the only way the story would make sense is if they did every possible thing wrong in Panic Room. Oh, let's move in before they hook up the telephones. And then once the bad guys get there, let's leave our cell phone outside. And then once we get our cell phone, then we do. You know, they just had to continually make mistake after mistake after mistake. George Bush is not so stupid that he could make that many mistakes in a row to make the Panic Room movie work. The Day After Tomorrow is like that. So incredibly stupid. They're running from the ice. It is getting so cold so fast that the ice is chasing them. There were so many of these, too. At one point, they said the temperature is dropping 10 degrees per second. Now, check out 10 degrees. That's 600 degrees a minute. That's some fast drop in temperature, I'm going to tell you. And even though it was dropping 600 degrees a minute, oh, they're out walking around and waving and smiling and having 600 degrees in a minute. And they're just having a good time, smiling. And then, who's that Quaid fellow? The one that's not, that doesn't play the retarded guy all the time. Dennis, I guess. He's trying to get to his son, who is like 20 years old. Please, why couldn't they make the kid a six-year-old diabetic, and now he doesn't have medicine, so that's why dad has to go. But no, dad's in D.C., and his 20-year-old son is locked inside the Library of New York or the Museum of Modern Art, whatever, in New York. And dad says, I'm coming for you, boy. I'm coming for you. And they get to Philly. Do you have to go through Philly from D.C. to New York? I don't think you go through Philly, do you? Because I've driven that and have never been to Philly. Anyway, they decide to go to Philly, I guess, for sightseeing. It's the blizzard of all time. It's absolutely, totally white out. You know, the oceans have run over New York. And, you know, like you only see the top half of the Empire State Building kind of thing. So anyway, Dennis Quaid has to get to his son. Oh, he just has to get there. And so they get to Philly, and he drives into a ditch. So what does he do? He walks from Philly to New York. Please. He walks out. I don't know how long is that. It's got to be, let's say it's just 100 miles. Can you imagine walking 100 miles in a blinding snowstorm with the temperature dropping 10 degrees per second? And he's got the snowshoes on. Please. That was just so stupid. Totally idiotic. So, if Gore endorsed that movie, then yes, I think Gore is insane. Now, if he endorsed the general idea of global warming is a bad thing, which I'm sure he did, that would make sense. But if Gore said that's an accurate movie about what's going to happen in 2 days, yeah, that would make Gore a moron who is unworthy of anybody's vote. But that didn't happen. But this monkey claims it did, because had he told the truth, there wouldn't be any criticism to level at Gore, because Gore is right. Remember, all those years ago, he wrote that book, Lurch, Rush calls it Earth in the Lurch or something. I think it's Earth in the Balance, where he said, whatever, 10, 20 years ago, what we need to do is get rid of the combustion engine. Yes, that would fix most everything. We wouldn't be at war right now. Israel could fight their own battles. You know, I still got my plan with Israel. We'll get into that later. But we wouldn't be at war right now if it wasn't for the combustion engine and that idiot monkey giving triple-sized tax breaks to people that buy the biggest of the biggest of the SUVs. If you buy a $60,000 SUV that you can't park in any garage, I think Bush paid for half of it, didn't he? Or, I'm sorry, me and you did. Bush didn't pay for a damn thing. But I swear, if you buy a $80,000 SUV, I think the government pays for $40,000 or $60,000 worth of that, which is insane. That's the exact opposite direction we should be going. But you know, with this president, that's always the case. Back to this monkey's letter. Here we have a supposedly reputable individual lambasting the current administration on its environmental policies. According to Gore, a few years of Bush's presidency are responsible for the destruction of the earth. He did not say that. If Gore said that, I would label him a monkey, and I would buy goresamonkey.com, and I would beat him about the head and shoulders repeatedly, but Gore did not say that. But this monkey has to lie and claim that he did, because had he told the truth, he wouldn't have a point. Please tell me there is not even one person who gives Gore a second thought. Well, excuse me, sir, but the majority of voters in America gave Gore their vote, and the crooked Supreme Court took that victory away from him because they liked their boy Bush better than the man America voted for. So, yeah, don't act like, who is this guy? Yeah, he's the legally elected president of the United States, you monkey. I work at a chemical manufacturing facility. Prior to this job, I was on active duty in the Navy. Well, that makes him an expert. Oh, my God. Why didn't you say you're in the Navy up front, dude? Trust me when I say their environmental policy have not been reduced under the Bush administration. That's a lie. In fact, they're stricter than ever. That's another lie. I think that's four lies we've caught him in. Being good stewards of our environment is our top priority. No thanks to Mr. Gore. Well, how are you going to label him Mr. Green and then scream at him for not doing anything about the environment, you monkey? My God. Whole lot of slapping needs to be done in this country. Kind of in the mood to do it. Here's one. Bush fails to act. How'd they let an anti-Bush letter get in the paper? Every time I drive by the pumps and look at gas prices, I think how gas companies seem to seize every opportunity to stick it to the consumer. That's true. I also thank Bush and Cheney, Texas and oil, and what is not being done to protect the consumer. I'm a Republican, and I'll wager there are many more Republicans who also have had it with our current administration turning a blind eye to the oil industry's greed. As we fill up our tanks this summer, we'll remember come November, Ron Barkley, oh God, what kind of town is that? Orwigsburg, PA. Well, the problem is that the American voter is really, really stupid. They're not going to remember a damn thing on. Come November, gas price can be $1.50, and everybody's going to say, whoa, that little blip there, that was something. And then the minute Bush steals another election, that gas price is going to go through the damn roof, and they're going to scream, oh, we're running out of energy. Oh, we have to do this, supply and demand, yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, ExxonMobil is going to be making billions in profits, and they're going to say, it's an accident. We didn't mean to make that money. It's somehow a byproduct of those regulations that the Clinton people put on us. Yeah, somehow Clinton made you richer. We all believe that, you lying bastard. We've said this so many times, but we can't get an answer. How can they claim, remember, same with California's energy problems, how can they claim environmental regulations put in by the Democrats cause all the trouble if they're making record profits? It's not possible. You can't say I'm passing on the cost and make a whole lot more money. If I get something for $10 and I sell it for $20, and my costs go up to $12 and I sell it for $30, I can blame two of those $10 on the increase, but not the other eight. Nobody's asking that question. No Democrats are asking it. That just drives me nuts. Okay, here's one. Now, here we go. This is a big one. It cannot be replenished. We just don't get it. Here we are hoping that the Saudis can boost production by 2 million barrels a day, but the oil cannot be replenished. An increase in oil production only gets us that much closer to the end of the supply. This is a fact. I pity the fool who wants to argue with me on that. We should be increasing the cost of gas, heavily taxing large SUVs, and using those funds to find completely renewable source of horsepower before it's too late for future generations. For you childless drivers of those 8,000-pound SUVs, shame on you for your selfishness. It cannot be replenished. Jim Grover, Bronxville, New York. This is very, very, very true. And the country as a whole needs to get the hell towards some, you know, solar, wind, battery, whatever it's going to take. We need to go there now. And I think that's the principal reason they took this away from Gore in 2000, because he was going to make America energy independent, and the oil companies and the BFEE, they can't have that because they can't steal any billions if we have renewable energy. Okay, so here's now the big plan. I said this many moons ago. You go somewhere in the back issues, who knows? Hell, it could be background issue 1 or 200. It was so long ago. But what you need to do, I can solve all these problems. Trust me. Line them up. I'll solve them one at a time. What we do with gasoline, we raise the gasoline tax. First thing, we take it out of the commodity business. We just declare that gasoline is worth X. So we raise the tax on gasoline, let's say 4 cents a month. So every year, gasoline goes up 50 cents till it gets to maybe $5 a gallon. At the same time, like this guy says, we tax the hell out of the giant SUVs. If you got some big-ass truck that just has to be, you know, fine. If you're in the lumber delivery business, we understand you need a large truck. But if you're just mama going to take the kids to soccer, you don't need one of those 88-ton excursion expedition deals that gets a mile per gallon. However, if you're super rich and you want to waste gas, fine, we got a plan for you too. First thing we do is we slap a 30% luxury tax on top of the cost of the SUV. You don't get any tax break for buying it. You get taxed for buying it. And if you want to pay all that money, if you want to pay $200-$300 per tank to fill up, fine with us. Hey, this is America. Now what we do when we raise the price of the gasoline, 4 cents a month, that's 50 cents a year. Very soon, okay, meanwhile, we're still importing from Saudi Arabia and those bastards in Iraq, the BFEE, that is. But at some point, as the price of gas goes higher, we're going to be using less oil from the Middle East. That's a guarantee. Nothing can stop it. But at some point, as it goes higher and then higher and then higher, as it approaches $5 a gallon at the pump, well, first of all, now SUVs are going to start dying out because very few are going to want to pay that money. More people are going to be buying these hybrid cars, these run, you know, half gasoline, half electric, whatever. You know, I can't do a chart on the radio, but as the price of gas increases, the ability for people in Oklahoma and Texas and Louisiana to open up their old oil wells increases. So let's say when gas gets $4 a gallon, now it's worth their while to open up the drilling, whatever, the holes, the pumps, the wells, that are the most profitable. And then as the price of gas gets to $5, then the ones that are mediocre workable, those will all come online. So what we have, we tell the whole Middle East, go to hell. You can keep your oil, whatever you want to do, fine. We just don't need it anymore because between Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, I'm sure there's some other states they have, Quaker State Oil, yeah, they got oil in Pennsylvania, they got oil lots of places. And even if we have to go to Alaska, we want to go to Alaska as a last ditch, or maybe do Alaska temporary, maybe have Alaska come online while we're inching our way towards $5. But once we allow the price of gasoline to be stable, then the people in Oklahoma and Texas and everywhere can hire people to put on their rigs. The problem with it now, you can't hire a bunch of people, put them on an oil well, put, you know, a few million dollars into drilling, and then the day the oil starts coming in, Saudi Arabia drops their price of oil, and now it's cheaper to go there than it is to get our oil out of the ground. So we end up capping the wells, and all those people, they go find other jobs. And then Saudi Arabia jacks the price back up, and we call that guy and say, hey, dude, we need you over here at the drilling site. And he says, sorry, I can't come over there and work 2 months, and then you'd lay me off. So once price gets to $5 a gallon, those people have permanent jobs. We are energy free from the Middle East. Now, here's where everybody hates old Bart. We tell Israel, we'll give you 10 years. In 10 years, we're going to cut off every penny to you, military, financial, everything. We're going to cut you off in 10 years. If you want to move your people to Oklahoma, that one guy wrote in and said move to Baja, Mexico, fine. If you want out, we'll give you 10 years. Hell, we can send the Carnival cruise ships over there, you know, again and again. Boom, 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 shipping. I think there's 8 or 10 million people over there. Fine. So it'll take 10 years to move them all. Fine. So we do that. We get Israel out of the Middle East. Hell, let them call New Israel. The sand in Baja has got to be just as sacred as the sand in Israel once you take the invisible cloud being out of it. So we take Israel out of the Middle East. We tell them we can keep their oil. Voila. It's all solved. There's no more fighting in the Middle East. If Iran wants to take over Yemen and Saudi Arabia wants to take over United Arabs, whatever, Emirates, we don't care. Y'all can just blow yourselves up. Do whatever you want. We just don't care. Y'all want to get nukes and shoot them at each other? We don't care. We're over here in the West. See? Got all the problems solved. We got Israel out of the picture. We got the price of gasoline. Now, don't worry about the $5 a gallon, because once gasoline becomes that expensive, now it's worth our while to build, you know, the tram lines and the shuttles and whatever. You know, you go to the airport and you get on a little machine and whatever, you know, whatever that's called. See, now we got those all over the country because anything's cheaper than paying $5 a gallon for gas. And on top of that, In Europe, they have those little Mini Coopers. They got smaller cars. They got smaller engines. You don't need a car with 300-400 horsepower. You just don't need that. Again, if you're delivering lumber, fine, we understand. There's going to be people, you know, there's the big trucks that carry five or six cars. We understand that. But the idea of mom and pop, soccer mom, got to have a 25-ton SUV to take the kid to soccer practice, no, you don't need that. You put the little bastard on a tram, or you can drive him in your $5 a gallon little gas car or whatever. But this way we got no wars, we got no Middle East, we got no 9/11, we got no Bin Laden, we got none of that. As usual, Bart solves every problem, but nobody wants to do it because we got to keep the invisible cloud being happy. That's number one. Praise the Lord.
Hi, Tally here. Those of you longtime Bart Coppers will remember that I used to write for Bart a few rants a week for a very long time, and had my own column that was even published on other websites as well, called Tally Briggs, Actress at Large. The problem was that writing about the monkey in a man suit and his evil ilk got so draining on me I just couldn't do it anymore. I know there have been a lot of requests here on Bart Cop Radio for more rants like the one I did on Janet Jackson's breast. And Bart says I'm shy, and truth is, well, no, not really. I just can't constantly scream about the tremendous havoc these evil people are wrecking over the planet that gets worse with every passing day and not end up on Zoloft. However, I have agreed to try to do something every show. I'm not sure what that's going to be. It could be a lot of rambling nothingness, or it could be something to the point. I don't know. We'll take that journey together. So for the very first episode of whatever this is going to be, I'd like to welcome you to La Femme Perspective, and I'm Tally. And I'm going to start out the show with my little beverage of choice, which will be different every week. Today, it's a fine single malt called Oban. Yeah, that's nice. So, like I said, I'm not sure what this is going to turn out to be like. It may take some shape if and when I have something specific to say, or it may just be like this show, Random Thoughts from the Feminine Perspective. I hope you're all okay with it. It is what it is, and hopefully we can all live with it. So, what's bugging me today? Well, above all things, everyone needs to stop whining about getting a paper receipt for electronic voting. Now calm down. But shut the hell up already, and here's why. Those that have had their hands on the fix will never, and I mean never ever, allow a close enough election to warrant a recount that it will be necessary to produce your paper record. It's not about the paper, people. It's about taking the counting out of human hands. The fix doesn't even have to be in the software of the evil Diebold machines. Now, listen to me, because I've worked with computers for a very long time. It just needs to be a simple switch in the registry file of the central server where the data is sent to correct the count. Okay, I didn't mean to get geeky on everyone, but let me explain. All of you with a PC at home, not a Mac, sorry, I love you all. My man has one, and there's one in this household. But all of you with a PC at home, I want you to look at something on your machines. Go to Start, Run, then type in REGEDIT and hit Enter. This will pull up your system's registry file. This is the magical place where technicians from various software companies can type in a few choice letters and shazam, you have a new print button in your MS Word file that you've never had before. Little tweaks like that are possible from all of your software on your machine. And this lovely file that has its hands in and on to everything that's loaded on your computer, just don't delete it. Your software system and everything else will no longer run without it. It's that simple. It's all it needs to be. It doesn't even have to be like I said, in the software of the voting machines itself. It's that easy. Ask any computer programmer and they'll tell you. So, what's the solution? Well, refuse to vote electronically. Vote absentee where you can, or call your registrar's office now, not election day, and demand a paper ballot be available. Tell them you refuse to use an electronic voting machine, that they have no proof will disenfranchise your vote, and they cannot verify. Demand it. Since the software is proprietary and they cannot audit the software, you should demand a paper ballot. It's your right. They should give you a paper ballot, and if more people refuse to use these machines, they'll eventually stop using them. If enough people make a stink about it, they're going to know something's wrong. And if we start doing it now and demanding that paper ballots be available on election day, then there's no way they can try to get the fix in. It's our one tiny little weapon, but it's going to take all of us doing it. I know here in California, as soon as we get our little paper ballots mailed in, I can rip off the back of it, I can fill it out and mail it in, and they'll mail me an absentee ballot. I don't need to give them a reason why. I know a lot of states aren't like that, that you have to have some message from your doctor that you're going to be in the OR during all, 12 hours of election day, and you can't possibly make it to a voting booth. But if you start questioning the procedure now and demand a paper ballot, something will be done between then and now, I guarantee you. And make a stink, don't take no for an answer. So, what am I excited by this week? I need another sip of the scotch, hold on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to witness history being made this Saturday at Belmont Park for the Triple Crown. You got it. Smarty Jones is about to be the first horse since Affirmed won it in 1978. That is over a quarter of a century. Of course, anything can happen. It's horse racing. I understand it. Believe me, I grew up with horses. I wanted to be a jockey until I got too tall, and I wanted to be a trainer until I didn't know Spanish, and I decided I wanted to be a tour guide at Disneyland instead. But still, my money is on Smarty Jones. He's won in mud. He's won in the sun. He is undefeated and has never, ever let a horse run past him. Plus, the Belmont is the longest race of the Triple Crown, and it's in the distance when he turns on the heat, when everyone else is tired and their legs have left them. I would have thought Rock Hard 10 had a chance if Gary Stevens was riding him, but he's not. Alex Solis is the mount, so never mind. No, I think Smarty Jones is set to do another stunning finish along the lines of Secretariat when he won the Belmont by 31 lengths. It's going to be one exciting race Saturday. I can't wait. Well, that's all for now. I know it's nothing as earth-shattering as Janet's breast, but I'll try to come up with some stuff. I had some surgery recently, and maybe we'll get into that. It was all good. It was all elective. Couldn't afford it, but did it anyway. Maybe I'll get into that. Plus, there's always Vegas stories to tell, so who knows? And maybe I'll just get something. Something will piss me off enough that I'll want to talk about it without getting mental. So, I'll try to come up with some juicier stuff for the next show, but in the meantime, call your registrar's office and refuse to vote electronically. Do it. Do it now. Anyway, I'm Tally, and that's La Femme Perspective.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, that mishmash was show 41. Believe it or not, that show was written and spoken sober and straight, but you'd never know it to hear it. Thanks for listening. Thanks to the supporters. Thanks to the subscribers, the people that keep the show on the air and the page on the web. I'll get to work on show 42 right now. Thank you.
You kept on taking your time until every sudden I couldn't survive. Judas remains. You turned and fled. How you left me for dead. And it didn't trouble your mind. It did not disturb you to see me decline. You turned out my lights. You put me to bed. How you left me for dead. And I say I won't rest my head until hell is your home. You think that you're safe, but oh no. You feel the cold of my gun hit your head. How you left me for dead. And you didn't stay close to me, didn't stay by my side. I was choking in blood as the light filled your eyes. You're a bomb for each word that you said. Cause you left me for, left me for, left me for dead. But I don't wanna search no more. There's nowhere to hide. So why don't you come quietly, my love.